Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
We've been talking about how to be salt and light. We've talked about the Beatitudes. And it's interesting to me that no sooner had Jesus discussed the importance of salt and light that in verses 17 through 20, he talks about the Word of God. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." In talking about the Beatitudes, I emphasize the importance of attitudes. We have studied why it's important and how we are to be salt and light. But immediately following that, Jesus calls attention to the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, of course, stand for the Old Testament. I think it's suggestive that Jesus tied together the law and the prophets. Very often, when people think about the Old Testament and the law, they do not associate it with the prophets. But they belong together. They formed a union. And it's in view of that that Jesus said that he had not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. In this same book, in chapter 11 and verse 13, we read that the law and the prophets prophesied until John. Now think about that statement. Usually when we think about the Old Testament, we think about the law as one thing and the prophets as another. But that passage says that the law and the prophets prophesied. For a long time, I never thought about the law prophesied. But that passage says it did. In what sense and how did the law prophesy? In the law, there were types and shadows. And these types and shadows were prophetic of things that were to come. Just as the prophets prophesied certain things concerning the coming of the New Testament, the New Covenant, Jeremiah 31, 31 following, Christ as born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, many others. In like manner, the law prophesied. In the first place, the law prophesied of man's deeper and more fundamental needs. Every lamb that was offered under the Old Testament that could not take away the sins of the world was a prophecy of man's deeper and more fundamental needs. And that pointed to the coming of something greater. Something in the future. The tabernacle was prophetic of the tabernacle that would be built, that God would use. And that was only a symbol or a shadow, as Paul says in writing in the Hebrew letter. And so, the law then prophesied. But it's striking that Jesus called attention to the law and the prophets. Jesus referred to the law 10 times. And I think it's worthwhile to notice what Christ had to say about the law. Because there's a great deal of misunderstanding about what the Old Testament, the purpose of the Old Testament served. Let me read you the passages where Jesus referred to the law and briefly look at them and call attention to what Jesus had to say about the law. Very often, when we're studying the Bible and rightly dividing the Bible, questions come up about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sometimes people say, "Well, you don't believe the Old Testament." Yes, I believe the Old Testament. I do not believe that we're bound by the particular laws or commandments that belong to the Old Testament. That is, as a system. The principles that were found in the Old Testament are found in the New Testament, just like they were in the Old Testament. But let's look at some passages and notice what Jesus said about the law and the emphasis that he gave to it. For example, still in the Sermon on the Mount, and in verse 12 of Matthew 7, listen to what Jesus said. Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now I wonder, as familiar as we are with that passage, that whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. How many of us have ever thought about that Christ said that's the law and the prophets? But he did. That underscored the fact that the law, in dealing with man's relationship with God, also intended for it to affect his relationship with others. That points to seeing oneself as we need to see ourselves. Now, in view of the fact that the scribes and Pharisees missed that altogether, that ought to be a warning to us. If the law was intended to help men appreciate their relationship one to another, and intended to mold their attitudes and affect their relationship one with another, and yet the religious leaders of that day totally missed it, is there not a danger that we may do the same thing with the New Testament? How often do we find people that may be strong in defending what the Bible teaches about baptism or the Lord's Supper or many other things, and yet have ugly attitudes? So we'll do well to stop and think about what that passage said. But look again. In Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 36 of that chapter, Jesus, in talking to a man that came to him and asked him a question, which was the great commandment, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And therefore Jesus said a proper understanding of the Old Testament placed the emphasis upon love. First of all, love for God. That's taken from Deuteronomy 6. In fact, it's a quotation from Deuteronomy 6, where Moses, in speaking to that second generation that had come out of Egyptian bondage, reminded them that the first generation failed and would died in the wilderness because they did not appreciate that fact. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's total loyalty, motivated by love. What is the great commandment? The first commandment is to love God. And that's what the whole Old Testament was about. To lead men to love God, and out of that love to God, obey Him. And they missed it. They thought that it consisted entirely of going through rituals, and that it didn't affect their life. But the second commandment, which was found in the law, is not found in the Ten Commandments. It's found in Leviticus 19. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. And there it was in the law. And you know, in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, man came to Christ and wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, what have you been reading in the law? Have you been reading? And he named some of them. And if you, we might as well just look at that while we're speaking of this, because there's a relationship between the two. That's when he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. The lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now watch. Jesus said, have you been reading the law? You want to know what to do to inherit eternal life? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? Now mark it. The parable of the Good Samaritan grew out of Jesus explaining what the law and the prophets taught. That's the background of it. Did you realize that the Old Testament taught the principles of the Good Samaritan? But it did. That's the reason Jesus used it. That shows how one is to love his neighbor. But how had this man interpreted it? He had interpreted it about who is my neighbor and would quibble about who is my neighbor. And in quibbling about it, he missed it. He failed to understand it. So it's not any wonder that Jesus said in Matthew 5, after talking about the importance of attitudes, go to the Bible. Study it carefully. Let it remold and remake your attitudes. And you see, he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. That's exactly the reason. In verse 20 he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you should in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. What's the matter? The scribes and Pharisees had not allowed the Old Testament to affect them. It hadn't changed them in any way whatsoever. They had missed it. And it disturbs me to think that if they missed it, I may miss it also. Would I, in studying the Old Testament, have ever dreamed of it teaching the parable of the Good Samaritan? The principles in that? Would you? Jesus said that's what it taught. He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, have you been reading the book? Been reading the law? Then he quoted what it said. And Jesus said, now you go out and do that. But he said, I don't know how to do that. I can't figure out how to do that. Just look at all the people around here. I can't figure out who my neighbor is. Jesus said, I'll tell you. And he gave the story then of the Good Samaritan. What did Jesus mean then when he said he came not to destroy the law but to fulfill it? They have never learned the basic fundamental truths of it in relationship to man's inward being. It hadn't affected their heart and their mind at all. Look again in the 23rd chapter and the 23rd verse. Listen to what he said. Here's another comment of Christ on the law. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Now mark it. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. What did the law teach? Judgment, mercy, and faith. Where was that? It's found all through the law. They hadn't seen it. They didn't know what it was to be merciful. They didn't know what justice or righteousness was. They didn't know what faith was. And yet Jesus said that's what the law was teaching. Oh, it taught you to tithe, all right. But tithing was to be an exhibition, a demonstration of faith and love and mercy. And apart from that, tithing is worth nothing. When I read the Old Testament and study the Old Testament, have I learned that it taught righteousness, faith, and mercy. Do I see that when I read the Old Testament? If not, then I haven't understood the Old Testament either. I've missed it just like they missed it. Therefore, the importance of it. But then look again at Luke chapter 24. And, of course, Luke 16:16 is a reference also to Matthew 11:13, which I've already referred to, and so I'm going to pass that one over. But look at Luke 24 and then 46 beginning. Listen to what he said. Or rather, it's verse 44 is where I wanted to begin. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Now you can see why he said in Matthew 5:17 then, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. For all that there was in the law and the prophets was about him." He was the center of it. It was pointing toward him. And the reason was, man's needs pointed to Christ and his coming. And so, the Old Testament then pointed to Christ, and Christ then pointed directly to Pentecost. Had you ever wondered why it was that the church had its beginning on a Jewish feast day? That's because that's what the Old Testament was pointing to. You know, the Jewish feast days, the main feast days, all of them except one came at different times. Some of them were determined by the moon. Some of them would be determined by the 14th day of the month. Well, the 4th of July will come on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. But Pentecost was determined by counting 7 Sabbaths and the day following. Pentecost always came on the same day. Pentecost never came on any day except the first day of the week. Do you not see then the significance of that Jewish feast day and the beginning of the church in Acts 2? And that's how it prophesied, how the law prophesied in the Old Testament. So Christ then said he came to fulfill the law, and he pointed directly to the Old Testament and then to Pentecost. But look again at John, the 7th chapter. Twice, I believe, in that chapter, Jesus makes reference to the law. Look at the context in which he found it. This was in the midst of the feast, and Jesus went up to the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Now listen. "If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Now, underscore that phrase. No unrighteousness is in him. "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" Note two things in that passage. Number one, Jesus said that the same is true, and in him is no unrighteousness. And therefore, he said he lived a sinner's life. That's what the law demanded. And he's the first one that had ever kept that. Now, that's again, that's a fulfillment of Matthew 5:17. But in contrast with the way he kept it, look at what he says concerning them. "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law?" They had violated. He had not. And that's what the law was all about. It pointed to Christ his coming into their needs and the fact that he would redeem them from sin. Then look again in the same chapter, in verse 23 beginning. Well, let's begin back in verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I've done one work, and you marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now what had happened? They had misunderstood the law. Jesus had done good on the Sabbath day, and they had criticized. Why? Because they didn't understand the law. They judge by appearance, not righteous judgment. And they made a mistake. The law then would have created within them a spirit and attitude of mercy, of doing good, but they had totally misunderstood the law. Finally, one other. In chapter 10 and in verse 34, but let's look at the context in which it's found. The Jews took up stones to stone Christ. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him of whom the Father sanctified and sent the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. And so again, you see how the law pointed toward him. And their misunderstanding the law and the prophets led them to accuse Christ of blasphemy. And yet by their scriptures applied the word God to those that had received inspiration, as he said, to whom the word of God had been committed. If the ones to whom the word of God had been committed had been called gods in the Old Testament, a little g, then what about him who was in reality God in the flesh? And they had missed it altogether. The older I get to be, the more I study my Bible, the more I become concerned about missing what it teaches. I can't think of anything sadder than for me to spend my time studying the Bible, and then when I come to stand before God in judgment, I have missed it. And then be lost. But that's what happened to these people. It taught things that had never dawned on them they taught. It's not any wonder in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, a man had an honest and a good heart. And I raised the question this morning, do I really want to know what the Bible teaches? Or do I make up my mind what I want the Bible to say, and then try to make the Bible fit what I want it to teach? Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, said, for this cause, look at it, C-A-U-S-E. What? For this cause shall God send them strong delusion. American Standard Version said a work in a barrel, that they might believe a lie. Why would God allow a working of error or the believing of a lie to take place in my heart, knowing all the time that believing a lie, false doctrine, will cause me to be lost? Why would God do that? Because they loved not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's why. Because I didn't want what God's Word taught. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And God said, all right, if that's the way you want it, I'll let you be deceived. I'll let that being a working of error, making you believe that what you believe is right, while all the time it's a total lie. And I'll let you be lost. That's what happened to the scribes and Pharisees. That's the reason Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is my attitude toward the Bible? How much do I appreciate it? Have you read yours this past week? Did you go to it with an honest heart and an open mind and say, Lord, I want to know what this book teaches. I want to find out and let it change my life wherever it needs to be changed. But if you're here this morning, not a Christian, what kind of attitude do you have toward the Bible? Is it one of saying, I want to know, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth, command, and I'll obey? Is that the attitude you have? Or did you come with the attitude, if it reads like I want it to read, I'll do it. But if it doesn't read like I want to, then I'm going to push it aside. Let me plead with you this morning. To believe that Christ is God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then let that Word control and direct you as you read and study it all of your life. That's the kind of people that's going to heaven.